Hey, it's Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, we have got two quarterbacks in the NFL, and apparently they both want to go to the same place. It's going to cause a lot of problems, potentially. We've also got Albert Breer of the MMQB.com stopping by. There's a player in the NFL who's very bitter about trade compensation. It is a changing world in college football, and the latest conspiracy theory from an actual player. All of that coming up here. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And we will do so with none other than Brady Quinn.
Yeah, buddy. I got to tell you, last night I had one of those moments. You know, have you had one of those moments when you're watching a sports event and it just, it kind of, you start to tear up a little bit, start to get a little bit of emotional? I don't know if you saw the national anthem for the Islanders-Bruins game. But something about before, just watching it, you know, my wife's obviously there. She's a former Olympian, or actually, I think they like get upset if you ever call them a former Olympian. They're like, once an Olympian, always Olympian. So whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But, you know, she's very patriotic, and we're watching it, and the entire arena is singing. And I can't remember the young lady who was actually singing the national anthem, but at one point, she just put down the mic. And she just put it out there to the crowd, like you're at a concert.
That's awesome.
And
that's
everyone
awesome.
Was singing along, and it was loud. It was awesome. I was just like, this is what we need. We need more of this kind of energy, this kind of stuff going on in this country. But
yeah,
either way, it was a cool moment.
Well, why are those not more of the stories you hear about instead of some guy throwing a bag of Funyuns on some player walking off the floor?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just weird.
Yeah, dumping his yogurt out on the manager, you know, across the way.
It's just like, what are we doing here? Like, everybody wanted to make a big spectacle of, the Mexico-U.S. game. It's like, oh, they were throwing objects onto the field. Now, they were throwing half-empty beer cups that were plastic, all right? But instead, we got a great story to where you got someone singing the national anthem. People are patriotic about it. The Islanders go on to blow out the Boston Bruins. They continue to make a run. Like, we need stories like that that need to be highlighted. To Brady Quinn. I'm all
in.
Yeah,
my in-laws from Boston are probably buried some bodies last night. That was most likely what happened, given their fandom of all Boston sports. Which,
unbelievable.
And by the way, they don't understand. Actually, I think her parents do. I don't think my wife does. How lucky they have been with Boston sports.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the Patriots, the Red Sox breaking their curse over the past of a couple of decades, but their success, the Celtics, the Bruins, it goes on and on. And I'm like, yeah, you guys really can't complain about anything. Like, just because you had a down year, that's try talking to someone who's from Cleveland, okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, here's what I would ask you. If and when the Browns finally do win a Super Bowl, say they go on a run.
I'm going streaking.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fine. And I'll do it too. I mean, like, whatever. Like, you go, we go. We're like Thelma and Louise off the cliff together, Brady Quinn and myself. But the reason I ask that, are you going to feel a little bit of resentment? If the Browns have a run and start winning titles, there's going to be some young Browns fans that will only know success. They're only going to know what it was like when the organization was good. And they'll have no reference point to, hey, man, we went through some real struggles. We were 1-30. But don't worry about it. It wasn't Hugh Jackson's fault. It was everybody else's fault. Don't worry about it. I point the finger, never the thumb, the Hugh Jackson motto. But you went through some real lean times. And there's going to be Browns fans at some point or another. It has to go the other way for them. At some point or another, they're never going to know that struggle. And I just wonder if you're going to be resentful of that. Because I would be. Letting you know that right now.
I won't be resentful to it. I kind of experienced it, right? I mean, when you come from college having success and you come in your rookie season and we went 10-6 that year, I'm like, all right, like this is similar to what I've been accustomed to experiencing at Notre Dame. You're having success. We're on the right track record. You really don't know any different. And I remember being like, at that point I was a backup, But being in tight games and watching it and being like hopeful and optimistic, and I'm looking around and I remember talking to people within the organization, like after the game on the sidelines, they're like, no, you don't understand. That usually never goes our way. Like that, the ball never bounces our way. We never get the call. Someone gets hurt. Something happens. Like there was always this sense of, and you could feel it in the stadium. You could sense that the fan base was waiting for that next mistake to happen. Like that next horrible thing that they would go and lament about for the rest of the year, or at least the rest of the next week until it happens again, to talk about. And I remember going 10-6 and thinking, oh, you know, NFL, it's not so bad. And then literally the rest of my career, I wasn't a part of a team that had a winning record. I mean, we were 8-8 with the Broncos, won on a tiebreaker to go into the playoffs, which was the weirdest feeling ever. Considering, so we run off the field, but then because Oakland loses at home, and then via the tie-breaking strategy, we win at 500, and we just lost our last three games. They're like, no, come back out on the field. We won the AFC West. We're like, this feels weird. it feels like an accomplishment, but it's hard to feel that way considering how bad we played the last three games. And the fact that we just got beat in our own home stadium, like, to finish the year. Like, there's not a lot of good mojo going on right now.
By the way, the this is how – if somebody asks you ever, like, hey, so how bad were the Browns during that, 2017-18, whatever that time period was, 2016 time – so how bad were the Browns? They were so bad that when they did finally win a game – Bud Light fridges automatically opened around the country at certain locations. That's how bad the Cleveland Browns were. You remember that? When the Browns finally won a game, Bud Light fridges were unlocked automatically somehow through a Wi-Fi connection, and beers came out for free. That is how bad the Cleveland Browns were. But things look up for the Cleveland Browns, and it appears that there's a lot of people who would never have to know that struggle and that pain, and that's a shame. That really is a shame, because there's nothing I like more than to see a fan base struggle, because it gives us an opportunity to poke fun at it.
I read a story about like a guy passing out in one of those coolers. Like, they were a bit concerned for his well-being, but he, once that thing opened, he enjoyed himself, and then he just passed out inside of it.
Well, I mean, listen, there are some people that believe in freezing bodies if you want to preserve life. There's been some stories out there. I believe Ted Williams, the baseball player, his head was frozen by his family. You could check that up. Go to somewhere in Scottsdale, Arizona. Ted Williams' head is frozen, and his family was fighting
over cryogenics, which, if you want to go down this wormhole, I am all about.
Yeah,
okay, because here's the thought process.
I really don't. I don't want to see Ted Williams pine tar next to my fish sticks. All right, I'm good. I have no interest.
I have no idea what that means. I'm just saying this. They're imagining down the road, like hundreds of years down the road, that we'll probably be able to bring him back with some type of cyborg body, but his head will still be on there. He'll still have all his memories and all that. And so why not? Why not freeze his body, or his head in this case? Most people, was it Walt Disney? Isn't he cryogenically frozen?
I don't know. The whole thing weirds me out. It really weirds me out.
I think it's kind of fascinating because I they're betting on science and technology in the future getting to the point where like they can bring them back. Although I do wonder if like the immediate shock value of where our world's at that point in time, like, who knows if we're even on this planet? Like, that's the other thing is there a clause in there? Are they taking their little tube with them to Mars if everyone's moving to Mars or living in space? I mean, I've got a lot of questions about
here's the part that weirds me out the most about it. Just the thought of, hey, can I get you anything? Yeah, we have any more of those ice cream bars left? Yeah, no problem. Let me grab you one. Damn it. And what happened? Nothing. Grandpa's trachea fell out. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, we're freezing body parts
for
what?
What do you mean fell out? You think anything's falling apart? It's frozen. It had to thaw out.
I'm not taking any chances. All right, I'm not taking any chances. I'll let you know that right now.
You need to look into this more. I think we might need to cryogenically freeze you just in case. Just in case. Sports talk radio yeah. might cease to exist. You could bring it back like 300
definitely.
Years from
now. Yeah, that's what my body type needs, more freezing temperatures. All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here, Fox Sports Radio. Let's have a discussion here, if we can, about somebody who, I mean, look, he's got wants and needs. All right, this somebody has wants and needs. And according to Kareem Jackson of the Denver Broncos, this is via the Catch and Fades podcast. Kareem Jackson was talking about Deshaun Watson. And according to Kareem, who's a good friend of Deshaun Watson's, Deshaun Watson has himself a preference when it comes to his next team. Take a listen.
I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man. And all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like he like, that's where I want to be. He like, man, listen, that's why he like, I want to be in Denver.
All right, so there it is. Deshaun Watson wants to be a Denver Bronco, Brady Quinn. So, I mean, I guess we're all good here. See you later, Houston. Deshaun is on his way to the Denver Broncos. Congratulations, Denver.
If only there weren't this gigantic hurdle of 22, all right, separate massage therapists who have filed lawsuits, civil lawsuits for the most part. I believe there was one criminal suit. I'm not sure where we're at on that one. But there have been 20-plus civil lawsuits filed claiming misconduct, sexual allegations and orientation. So that might be standing in their way. And this is how this is going to work. For any team that looks to trade for Deshaun Watson, and yes, trade, I don't believe the Houston Texans are going to release him.
No.
Even though they would have cause and they would be able to, you know, get out from underneath the contract because of his conduct off the field. You know, under the player conduct policy, when you have an issue like this, it voids your guarantees. So I'm sure if they wanted to move on, cut him, you know, cut bait and go their separate ways, they could. But I think they want to see how this whole thing plays out first. But let's just say, for example, they do want to trade him. They're done with him. He's done with them. Okay. If Denver's that team, ownership has to come into play. And that's where things get a little bit complicated. Pat Bowlen, rest in peace. He's moved on, a tremendous owner. I was there in Denver for a couple of years. And you know, it was an unbelievable organization. It was a little difficult at that point. I think they're going through a transition. Josh got fired, John Fox came in, but they started to kind of, you know, get back up on the upswing. But the reality is now it's been passed down, I believe, to Brittany Bowlen, his daughter. But it's been a little bit of a messy ordeal, and she's obviously new to this. So it's also going to take, you know, her perspective, her thoughts, and checking off on all this as to whether or not they want to bring in a guy like this, which even if he settles, you know, settling these lawsuits doesn't necessarily mean that he's not potentially guilty of all this. It just means that that's how the victims, or alleged victims in this case, that's how that they would want to, you know, appease whatever took place or make them happy with this entire process. So they would have to be able to take that on and trade for him or sign him, knowing that there's the potential that there was still some wrongdoing. There's still the potential the NFL could do something.
Yeah.
So as much as he wants to go to Denver, which, by the way, where else is he going to go? I'm not sure there's another quarterback situation where teams are welcoming him with open arms. As much as he wants to go there, there's got to be more of a desire and want from Denver at this point. And there's still some things that need to be sorted out before it can even happen.
And why the hell would the Houston Texans cooperate with him at this point? Like, why would the Houston Texans say, you know what, we hear you, let's go ahead and let's get you to wherever you want to be. Let's go. Man, if I'm the Houston Texans, I am no longer worried about my relationship and where it's at with Deshaun Watson. If I'm moving on from him, my whole goal is we're going to get the most we possibly can and what's best for our organization. If that means we trade him to Thailand, if that means we trade him to the CFL, like whatever the case may be, we're going to get what's best for us. all he's done is throw the organization under the bus for months and months and months, and then put them in an awful spot because of conduct off the field. So why the hell, if I'm the Houston Texans, would I even acquiesce anything to Deshaun Watson? Like, I don't want to hear anything about what your demands are and where you want to go and where you want to end up. This is about our organization trying to move forward. If you don't want to be a part of it, and if you still don't want to be a part of it, tough. You're going where we send you because we're going where we're going to get the most in return.
Yeah, period. I mean, I think the hard thing is, again, who's going to trade for him? I think Miami's moving on this year with Tua. I think the Patriots are past any sort of maybe I'm wrong with that, right? With Cam Newton being hurt,
not sure that
Mac
would be
Jones
the
has struggled a bit.
That would be the best place for him with the Bob Kraft and all the other
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go down that road.
I don't want to either.
But let's just say they're probably out on Deshaun Watson, at least at this point. And so that leaves the Washington football team, given the dynamics around that organization, some of the things they are battling
happening
in that regard, and that ain't happening.
No.
And so you've got Denver and you've got Las Vegas who reportedly had interest.
I don't,
by the way, Derek Carr, who I think is one of only three quarterbacks in the past, is it two or three seasons, who's had a 70% completion percentage, over 4,000 yards, and 10 or less interceptions. I mean, he's played – it's him, Mahomes, and Rodgers. He's played so much better than people want to give him credit. So I'm not even so sure that they would be sold in on that idea.
Yeah, I think that there's so much that's going to have to happen for this to even be a real discussion. But we do have somebody who can speak on the topic who will be joining us next here. He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. So as we said, we are going to have our NFL insider join you next with the latest on this Deshaun Watson discussion. And also, is the momentum starting to go in the way of Aaron Rodgers leaving the Green Bay Packers? We'll have the latest on that for you next here. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Outkick the Coverage here at Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Coming up later on this hour here on FSR, we've got some comments from somebody in the NFL that I think Brady would like to dive into a little bit. There's a there is a wide receiver who just can't seem to let it go.
I mean, look,
just
I'm all for motivation. It's just then it gets to a point where you say things and you go, well, that was dumb. I mean, there's an example to actually combat what you just said.
Oh, man. But we will get to that later on. Right now, we must get to the man of the hour. He is Albert Breer of the MMQB.com. He writes for SI, always does a great job, always kind enough to join us here on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, Jonas, and Brady Quinn, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good.
We
were just discussing, well, I don't even want to tell you what Brady brought us into to start the show. We're talking about, freezing human beings and all this stuff.
No, it doesn't matter. You brought that up. I was talking about the national anthem last night before the Bruins and Islanders game, which was awesome. So that was what I brought up. But.
Yeah. I mean, I would just like to point this out, that we also talked about the Deshaun Watson situation. Kareem Jackson came out and said, I've talked to Deshaun. He wants to be a member of the Denver Broncos. He's really interested. And so we were just sort of throwing around, what options does he really have? What teams are out there that would be willing to take a swing on a Deshaun Watson at this point based on his situation? Have you heard that there are still ongoing discussions, or where do we stand on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need some level of clarity legally with from the league before this moves forward. And, one of the reasons why is because it doesn't make sense for the Texans right now to move him. And the reason why that doesn't make sense for the Texans to move him is because they'd be very much selling low right now. I do think that, eventually there's going to come a time when they do trade him. I think it's probably going to come before he plays in another NFL game. So, I think that, there are certainly teams out there that are monitoring this situation. Thing is, guys, if you're the Texans right now and you try to put them out on the market, there are going to be a lot of teams where it's just going to be a non-starter. Their owners aren't going to let them, make a move for a player that's facing the sort of things legally that Deshaun Watson's facing. Now, once we get some clarity from the legal system, whether he settles the case or not, once the league weighs in on this and we figure out how the league's going to handle it, you know, going into the 2021 season, if we get legal clarity before then you'd think the floodgates would open and there'd be more teams that'd be interested, more, you know, GMs and coaches would be able to get their owners to sign off on it. You know, but as it stands right now, you know, the Texans are sitting on a 25-year-old franchise quarterback who has been severely devalued by what's going on in his life. And so, you know, for the Texans, you know, like, while I do think that they've moved a little bit on that and are, you know, way more amenable to the idea of moving him than they were, you know, 5-6 months ago, I just don't think it makes sense for them to go through with a trade until they can get a real return for him. And I'm not sure they can get the sort of return for him they'd want, given everything that's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure they ever will be able to at this point. But let me ask you this. Why is the NFL dragging their feet in making a decision to at least put him on the exempt list? Because if this was 5, 6, 7 years ago, I feel like he already would have been on the list at this point. He already would have been on the exempt list, and they would have been moving forward with the investigation. Why are they dragging their feet?
Well, they are investigating it, Brady. I think that the simple answer to your question is the NFL really doesn't do anything until they have to. And there hasn't been anything mandatory. All of this stuff so far has been, you know, voluntary.
Hold on, Albert. Yeah. That's not true. The NFL would see a video or something would become public, and then they would throw the guy on the exempt list and then start an investigation.
Oh, well, yeah.
Time.
I agree with you on that. Like, you know, so, like, say there's something that creates a PR crisis for the league, I'm with you. Like, if the league felt like there's something out there that's making us look bad, we have to do something, we have to act, then yeah. At this point, I think that the situation has sort of been status quo for a while, and that's why I just don't think the league is going to move on it until they have to, and the Texans haven't had anything that's mandatory to this point. Everything's been voluntary. The Texans canceled their mandatory mini camp, so that means we're not getting anything that's going to be mandatory until a start of training camp. At that point, I think the NFL has to make a decision because, you know, then you've got a team in the Texans on in a position where if Deshaun doesn't show up, and I wouldn't expect them to show up, they got to start finding him. And I don't think the NFL wants the circus of Deshaun Watson showing up, you know, while all this is still going on legally. So that's when I think they have to make a decision and they have to do something. And maybe that's when they put him on the commissioner's exempt list. But I feel like, and I can't, I'm racking my brain now, but there was a situation similar to this a year or two ago where this same question came up. And I can remember going to the league office and asking them about this. And the answer I got back was, well, we don't make those sorts of moves in the off season. And I asked why, and they said, well, because we really don't have to. And so, you know, I think that's basically the short answer to the question, is that they're not moving right now because they don't have to.
He's Albert Breer, the MMQB.com NFL insider, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn with you here on Outkick the Coverage. So, I mean, the question you're going to continue to get asked about, and look, Julio Jones is gone. So now there's one man remaining in the Royal Rumble of will they get traded this offseason, and it's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm sure you're buckled up, ready to answer ask this question every single day you do an interview here on radio. But the Aaron Rodgers situation, do we have any sort of clarity? Do we know when he's going to be returning to camp? Do you get the sense that maybe Matt LaFleur knows when he'll show up? Like, where do we stand on the Rodgers front?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows. And really, that's because this is all, like, kind of ties to the whims of one guy, you know. And I think, you know, the way Aaron's going to handle this over the next 2 or 3 months is wildly unpredictable. So, you know, it's a different situation in this way. And, you know, the best example I can give anybody right now is comparing this to the Julio situation. And that the Julio situation, you know, for as up and down and, you know, as many different twists and turns as there were over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months in the Julio situation, it was still pretty standard in that teams that were looking into it, even the ones that had very mild interest in Julio, like, if you talk to them, they had an idea of what was going on, right? Like, so, and that's the way it works in the NFL. It's like, when a guy's in the trade block, teams that are interested, you know, it behooves them to figure out, like, what the landscape is.
Albert, I wanted to ask you this. you obviously being an Ohio State alum, you're very familiar with Justin Fields' time in Columbus and just his performance there as a Buckeye. And now we're seeing all these videos come out of training camp, and it's him against Andy Dalton, and people are raving about how they look in comparison to each other and how good Justin Fields looks. How surprised were you during the draft process to see so many people, I don't know if out is the right word, but down on Justin Fields based on his time at Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty surprised, to be honest with you, just because, you know, he was on so many big stages, and Brady can attest to this because he was in the stadium, you know, on some of those occasions. But, I mean, in over the 2019-2020 season, you saw him in so many high-leverage situations. You know, you saw toughness, you saw competitiveness, you saw physical ability, you know, and then I think one thing that really sort of, you know, stuck out to me was what the people in the Ohio State program would say about him. And like how, and I'll give you guys this, like I can remember when some of the criticism started to mount, you know, in March and April, the calls I was getting from people in Columbus, you know, in that program, and how defensive they were about it. And it's interesting because, you know, when Dwayne Haskins was in the draft in 19 and he was criticized, you didn't hear the same level of defensiveness. You didn't hear, like, people just kind of rushing to get his back the same way. It's, you know, I know how well thought of he was, you know, in that program. And so it was surprising to me to hear the level of criticism, you know, he took, and that you kind of kept hearing this narrative that a lot of people in that program were very, very aggressive in fighting. So is he perfect? No. And Brady's probably more qualified to go through, like, the stuff about the football stuff than I am. But, you know, he does need to play more. And I think Ryan Day would say that, you know, like that he just needs to – he needs more snaps. And, you know, that's normal for a quarterback his age. But the potential is off the charts. And just, you know, from a football character standpoint, you know, I don't think you need to be a scout or a coach or a former quarterback to see the toughness and competitiveness that he displayed the last 2 years. So I was surprised that he slipped the 11th pick. And, you know, I think he's got a good shot to be a really good player, you know, with the Bears, provided they, you know, create the right environment for him there, which is always a big question for any rookie quarterback.
No, well said. And I think perseverance too, right? Like some of those games where he struggled, people tend to forget they still won. they're acting like their season just went to the wayside because he played bad. Like they still won the game. He still figured it out at the end. I want to transition to talking about just the Julio Jones trade. Were you surprised in the end, Albert, by the compensation that ended up being? Because it seems like DeAndre Hopkins is, given that he was also traded for a second-round pick. Why is it hard for these guys to wrap their head around where they're at their age, even as good as they have been over the past decade?
Well, I think you hit the right word there, Brady, is age. You know, and I went and looked at this, actually, and, you know, there's been a little bit of a boom in blockbuster trades the last few years, and so you know, I went back over the last 4 years. There have been 11 players who were traded for a first-round pick, 11 non-quarterbacks traded for a first-round pick. The oldest one was 27 years old. So every single one of them, all 11, were 27 or younger. Julio's 32. So I went back five years before that. And the oldest player I could find, you know, in that period that was a non-quarterback traded for a first-round pick was 28 years old. That was Jimmy Graham. So I kind of kept looking back, and I can't find a non-quarterback who was over 30 years old and traded for a first-round pick in NFL history. It just doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just the way the NFL has always operated. And, you know, I think even, you know, in the last, you know, 11 years since the 2011 CBA changed the way rookies are paid, that shifted the dynamic too, in that, you know, you have, you know, 5 years of cost control on a core player with a first round pick, a guy you expect to be a core player. You know, and so teams are weighing that versus what do you get with Julio Jones? Well, maybe 2 years, and it's more expensive than a first round pick would be. So, you know, I think that that's sort of the piece of it that everybody misses. It's, and I hate going through this because it sounds like I'm bashing a guy who's clearly a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest receivers of his era. But I mean, you add the age to the injury history. He's managed a foot over the course of his career. He's got knee issues. A hamstring took him out for half of the year last year. He can't practice every day, which is an issue for some coaches. I mean, I think you add it all up, and you can see why a lot of teams had kind of one toe but not, you know, both feet in the pool when it came to Julio Jones. Like, they were interested in it, but they were only interested in it to a point because, you know, they felt like there's probably a year or two left at the level that he's at, and then after that, you know, you're looking at a different sort of player. And, you know, even as it stands right now, he has to be managed a certain way. So I like it for the Titans because of where they're at. And they've got so many guys that are right there smack in the prime of their careers. Guys like, you know, Taylor Lewan coming off the injury, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. Guys that are like, you know, maybe the guys have 2 or 3 years left, that core group with Tennessee. But I can also see why, you know, trading for Julio Jones didn't make sense for everybody, great as he's been as a player.
Yeah. Albert, can I ask you one more real quick? I mean, we were trying to settle a debate earlier in the show. Jonas kind of teased it. Cryogenically freezing people. Would you be someone who would opt for that?
Jesus, man. hey, Albert, listen, I'm trying to be a professional broadcaster.
When you guys brought that up, I actually thought, like, that was a big controversy with Ted Williams.
Thank you.
Is it controversial, or is it more of like, maybe it's brilliant? Maybe he's going to be around, you know, 2,000 years from now.
Yeah. Didn't that happen in The Simpsons? Am I wrong about that? Did that happen in The Simpsons? Did Mr. Burns get frozen or something?
I have no idea. I think
there was an episode. I think look this up, but I think there was an episode where Mr. Burns wanted to be frozen so he could come back and be everybody's boss like 20 years later or something. Look that up. I think I have that right.
You didn't answer the question. Are you out on being cryogenically frozen? Are you out on that idea?
I don't need to be frozen. I don't want to be anybody's guinea pig. Now, if it works, maybe we have something to talk about. But okay. I don't want to be anybody's guinea pig.
Well, listen, I think we need an update to Albert Breer's Twitter bio, a senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist for the MMQB.com. Also, expert on cartoon show cryogenics or whatever they call it when it comes to freezing human beings. Albert Breer, Albert, we appreciate it. Thanks so much as always, man. Have a great rest of the day and a great weekend.
Thanks, Albert.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's awesome. Get him on Twitter again, at Albert Breer. Always good stuff there here on Fox Sports Radio. I mean, listen,
you know what we didn't get, neither one of us, on that interview?
What's that, a great question?
Never said great question.
No, we got to do a better job.
I mean, I was just thinking about that. I was like,
we're not, so people know, we're not used to having guests because we do Sunday nights and nobody wants to come on with us. And you just heard
That's technically not true, okay? We have no problem throwing out the phone line and playing games with our drunk guests. It's just people who are like in the media realm that are professional, they don't want to come on with
it's not even happening. Yeah, of course. I mean, but anybody drinking at this time of day, I want no part of. I don't want to lose my job because some guy has got a brown bag of Steel Reserve and something from a breakfast drive through menu and he's cruising around town. Not interested. Not interested. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, there's somebody in the NFL who's extremely bitter. At some point, you gotta let it go, dude. We will get into that here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, there is somebody in the NFL who had by far and away the best offseason of anybody. I mean, and it just continues to get better. I'm letting people know ahead of time, Brady Quinn is going to try and steer that conversation and make it centered around my in-laws, and I will not have that. I will not disparage this quarterback.
What is going on? First
just letting you know.
Why are you are you teasing something that we talked about before the show that was such a minute detail, but you think is going to become the entire segment?
Because it's a better tease. I mean, this is it's not about whether or not
like
the movie's good.
Just drove by and Jonas Knox is the driver.
Now, listen, it's not about whether the movie's good. It's about whether or not the previews are good enough to get a bunch of people at the theaters. Like
that
once they got you,
that
tough balls. I mean, that's the way this stuff goes.
It's like the card in a fight, right? Like Mayweather's done this. Many other promoters have done this. As long as the card looks good, people are going to pay and then buy it, and they make the you know, the weigh-ins look like it's tough, and they're going to get in a fight. Like they're going to, you know, of course, I get that, but that is not the minute detail I thought you'd be pointing out about the. We'll save it for the top of the next hour.
All right. I'm all about motivation. Like if somebody says something or somebody tells you you're not going to make it, you're not going to do anything, I'm all about motivation. But at a certain point, if you've already made it, don't you have to kind of move on and say, man, I don't want to talk about this anymore? DeAndre Hopkins just can't seem to move on. Like he can't seem. And you mentioned this before you got into freezing corpses with Albert Breer a few minutes ago on Fox Sports Radio. Check out the podcast if you want to hear that dynamite interview. I mean,
technically, that's inaccurate. Usually people are actually being frozen before they're dead. So it's not a corpse. It's a living body that's like a controlled death. To then freeze again, you got to look this stuff up. It's pretty fascinating.
All right, in hour four sounds like a plan. We will get into that when we break down that Suns Denver Nuggets series as well too. Now DeAndre Hopkins is talking about, you know, I want to see a first-round pick who could do what Julio Jones and myself do, because he's upset that he was traded for a second-round pick. Like, who cares, man? Like, what does it matter what you got traded for? Are you not happy in Arizona? Did you not get a new contract when you got there? Why is this even still a topic of conversation? Like, at some point, you got to move on.
I have no idea. I mean, and the weird thing was, is that this time it obviously wasn't even about him. It was about Julio Jones. And as Albert Breer just discussed, we haven't seen a wide receiver or any other position outside of a quarterback 30-plus be traded for a first-round pick. So clearly there's a formula that teams are looking at, front office executives are looking at when trying to trade for players at those positions. And I think in both cases, the players, you know, there's business impacts too as far as the contract and what that was going to mean with him going to Arizona. But the thing that upsets me is I want to see a first-round pick. Okay, I'll give you an example of a first-round pick, DeAndre. Justin Jefferson just did it last year. In fact, he did what you did, but a little bit better. Because he didn't even start all 16 games. Played in all 16, didn't start two of those, had more receiving yards and more touchdowns than you last year. So there's an example of a first-round pick who literally did what you did last year. Now, if you're talking about his entire career, I think we can go through some first-round picks and find guys who are able to do that. But the reality is, I mean, A.J. Green, who has had a solid career now in Arizona with him, you know, he's been able to put together numbers like that throughout the course of his career. Other first-round picks will be able to, but that's like the weird thing is you make a comment like that, and then immediately you're going, yeah, Justin Jefferson. He just did it this past season. There you go. There's an example.
Also, who's he upset with? The team that traded him for not getting a first-round pick, or the team that acquired him who gave up less and has a better roster because they didn't give up a first-round pick?
Like, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. You know what else doesn't make sense? This show so far. We got 2 hours left.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.